So, 15 years ago, I was making flyers in this ramshackle anarchist printing shop on the north side of downtown Tucson. And I woke up as Hobo Lee walked through the door. He moved like a fit surfer with hose clamps all over his neck, his elbows, his wrists, and ankles. And he was here to print his train hopping zine, There's Something About a Train. And I was immediately hooked with these fantastic stories and the hobo erotica. I remember this amazing image of this beautiful young figure leaping off a moving boxcar as the train turned into a full moon. Hobo Lee, this guy refined the hobo culture. He made it his own. And I wanted to experience some of this. And I realized that in 3 weeks, I had to be in the Bay Area to strategize with this visionary biologist I was hoping to work with in a book I was writing. And instead of taking the old boring way of the planes or the buses, I could instead take a means of transport that would make the journey just as juicy as the destination. It would also get me there for free, and it would minimize the skid mark of my travel. So I talked to Lee, he drew out maps, he gave me the timetables to the trains, and he gave me advice. He said, don't take any train with a boxcar, because those are the slow ones that'll get you stranded. Instead, you gotta take a Super 48, because they're the fast ones. Those are the trains with one shipping container over another. But you gotta make sure you find a shipping container, a longer one over a shorter one, so it's got an overhang under which you can hide from the Border Patrol. And do not let yourself be seen. You don't want the bulls to catch you or boys to stone you. So with that, I thought I had it. I just needed to find a traveling companion. And this was easy, because I need look no further than my younger brother, Rob. And he, like me, really got a kick out of doing things different. For example, both he and I decided to address our fear of heights by jumping out of a plane with a parachute. And in the current form, we had decided to buy and figure out how to renovate an almost condemned home and turn it into a demonstration site for sustainability. So, as I tell you all this, you might be surprised that he and I don't talk like maybe you think we would. Not as much as you think we would, especially considering we do so much together and we live together. We don't talk as deeply as you might think we would, or as deeply as I wish we would. Maybe we just act it out rather than talk it out. Thus, 3 weeks later, at night, we found ourselves running with full packs across the Bronze Aviation Highway, then climbing over a chain-link fence and dropping into the Tucson rail yard with a loud crunch. I don't know what the hell was up with this gravel, but it was louder than hell when we stepped across along it. So we're running along, crunch, 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 jumping from shadow to shadow, trying to stay out of the eyes of the bulls and the control tower. And we didn't have much time. We had to find a Super 48 pointing west. Finally found one, and then we ran down train to get away from the engineer's eyes and the exhaust. And we heard the horns. We saw the jerk of the train, we knew it was about to leave, but we still had to find a yellow-ribbed well car because they were one of the few that had a floor, and we also had to find an overhang. So we kept running, found the yellow-ribbed cars, but not the overhang, until finally we found one, not a full overhang, just a small one. Hoped it was good enough, jumped in, and just as we did, the train jerked again and started moving and picking up speed. And before long, Tucson was moving by fast, and we were hooting, hollering, and laughing. I mean, it was a nice rush, and but yet this adrenaline, it started to subside somewhat when we got out into the open desert. And there, looking up at the sky, the moon and the stars, they were brighter than I ever remember them being. It felt as though I was seeing them for the first time, really seeing them. And the excitement of this moment of not knowing what was going to happen next. But if you think about it, that could be, and that is, any moment. So, some hours later, we awoke in our sleeping bags as we felt the train starting to slow. And we felt and saw the light of dawn starting to emerge. So we crawled out of our sleeping bags and looked out, and we saw a much drier desert. Different mesquite trees than you find in Tucson. We saw the honey mesquites that you see near the California-Arizona border. Shit! Border Patrol! We quickly grabbed our stuff and we threw it and ourselves under the overhang. And when we went under the bridge, we then threw everything in reverse against the backside of the wall of the well car, and then in hopes that the agents on top of the bridge would not see us as they looked up train. Just breathing hard, feeling, train's not slowing, it's not stopping. Yes! Okay. And then we monitored our success throughout the morning as we would look at mileage signs and billboards anytime the train got close enough to the highway that we could read these. And buildings started to appear. They got more dense. We then noticed we started to smell the sea. And at this point, we pulled out Hobo Lee's maps, as we needed to look for the landmarks and the bend in the track that would slow the train enough that we could hop out on the fly. And it all went great. And we found ourselves in the middle of the LA rail yard and the backside of Built America, which does not give anything to life, but only takes from it. It was an endless web of rail tracks, of overhead power lines, screaming jets, belching traffic on bridges, endless garbage, and the LA River completely paved in concrete. So we decided to just sit down and absorb this as we ate sandwiches from our packs. And we continued to soak this in as we then got up and set off on a long trek to a different area where we hoped to catch a northbound train. And as night started to fall, it also started to rain hard. And our hope was fading fast with each hour that passed and no train. But eventually, a train did appear, but it was moving way faster than we anticipated. It wasn't a Super 48. This was a train just of fully exposed platform cars, some with a semi-trailer atop it. So we started running before the train got to us, and then we're running alongside it, and we both lunge for metal ladders on two adjoining cars, and then we pull in our legs as quick as we can so they don't get crushed by the churning wheels. And as we're up on the platform, I'm there breathing heavy, sitting, trying to recover, and I see my brother sitting on the platform car just down train from me. And then he does something really strange. He stands up. What are you doing? And then I realize he is about to walk across the coupling arms to join me on my platform. This is the thing that Hobo Lee warned us never to do, because it killed far too many of his friends. You never know when that coupling arm is going to open or slam shut, jerk, or what have you. And here he was, walking across this thing like it was a tightrope. I couldn't speak. I just reached out my hand, and somehow he made it. And as he sat down beside me, both of us shaking uncontrollably, me trying to gag back the vomit reflex, I said, "That was not worth it. You did not need to do that. I don't want you to die." And when we were kids, Rod and my youngest brother Mark, they were the closer companions. Well, I tended to hang out more with neighbor friends. And I hated it when Rod did things better than me. He was a far better swimmer. He was better at picking up girls when we got to that age. And he would sneak out at night while I stayed in. But when we got into high school, we were both so insecure. And when he entered his freshman year, rather than supporting him, I turned on him. So I wanted to be in the cool clique, and which I was not. And I went up to the older so-called cool kids, and I said, "Hey, why don't you go to my brother like you know him, call him Scum as a joke, and They thought that was great. And I would tell these jokes and stories and ridiculed him. And they loved that. They thought it was hilarious. I hated it. So when I chose to see it for what it truly was, just a desperate, fear-based act to try and fit in with a crowd I was not a part of, I felt like shit. It was my hope that these adventures, this hopping of trains, might make up for some of that. So when we arrived in Oakland, California, we transformed. We had tried to get some warmth and shelter from the rain, and we'd crawled under the semi-trailer atop the platform car. And there was a refrigeration unit that belched warm exhaust. So when we awoke the next morning, we were covered in axle grease and soot, which seemed to make us invisible. Because as we walked through the city of Oakland, no one saw us. They looked past us. And I would greet them, I'd try and get directions, nothing. Until finally, hours later, someone yelled out, "Hey you two, it's bagel time!" And we saw this group of crazy characters gathered around this overflowing garbage bag of bagels outside a closed bagel shop. They looked at them, are they homeless, are they hobos, activists, all the above? Whatever. We joined the merriment and the feasting, and it was awesome. And it continued all the way down the street in front of closed restaurants, bakeries, and markets. And the next morning, the world flipped. As we'd spent the night with a friend, bathed, got into different clothes, and decided to explore Berkeley unencumbered by backpacks. And this time, almost everyone saw us. Everyone we talked to definitely did. Until we saw some of our homeless comrades from the night before. When we tried to greet them, they looked right past us and through us. We waved, not seen, causing us to verbally stumble. And they didn't even seem to hear our stuttered greetings. I looked to Rod, "You seen and experiencing this?" He nodded. It got me wondering, how often do I disconnect before I can see others, or they can see me? And how often do I choose to be on automatic pilot, just following the old patterns, running from fear? That is not what I want. What I want is to be more conscious and conscientious in a way that I can shift and generate new patterns, that I can transform fear or the unknown into a call for and a jumping into adventure. Because I find when I do this, life becomes so much more dynamic and fulfilling. And I am able to connect with people on a level I don't typically connect on. But for whatever reason, this all too often seems hard, and I'll hold myself back. But sometimes, I'm able to break through, and that's when I hop trains.